something that I really want to talk about the assimilation of Nicki. And that is kind of the problem and the downfall, I think, of, I want to say, every minority in America. They try to find a way to assimilate. And with that comes some privilege, because Black folks try to do it too. Mm-hmm. But we'll never be fully assimilated because of this melanin. And I think it's the same thing with Nicki too. But I do think Asians, definitely your fair-skinned Asians, like your Japanese and your Taiwanese, mm-hmm. they are able to assimilate more because of the fair-skinnedness and to get more upward mobility because of their fair-skinnedness. And like, this ain't nothing new. You know, there's a book by Elizabeth Wilkerson, which my homie Mega hates, that talks about caste in America. And I like the book. And I truly believe there is a two-pronged caste system based on color. Like, it's like that in India. What the lowest was called the Kali, the real dark-skinned people. So color matters. And I think Nikki Haley is falling into that trap where when she heard that question, she just didn't want to offend white people. She's like, well, what is the right answer for my audience? Well, what is the answer for my audience instead of the right answer? Had she answered the question right and been more, a little bit more politically savvy, she could have just threaded the needle and made everybody happy. But I just feel like that's going to be the downfall. And Obama did it to a point too, when he was trying to distance himself from Jeremiah Wright. What? Jeremiah Wright said what about America? I don't know anything about that. What you mean? So that probably will be a hard thing for her to swallow. But what do you think about it? Because this political season is going to be a bugaboo. It's going to be hilarious.
I mean, my life is not inundated with like TV commercials or political ads or anything like that. I'm trying to make myself go seek out information so at least I can be a little bit more aware of who the candidates are going to be. I don't really know who's going to run for the Democratic Party, honestly.
Joe Biden. He said he's going to run.
I mean, but is he going to be alive? Like, I don't know if I can, like, lean into that.
So that's my point. But that's my point, though. I don't actually think Joe is up for it. And I'm not trying to be ageist. I got to take him at his word. I said that in my second podcast of the year that I don't think it's going to be that guy. I really think around August, dude going to be like, hey, man, you kids can have it. But I would say on the flip side, if dude does manage to win, I believe dude going to give away the farm. I think he at the age, he don't care no more. He's like, what the kids want? Fuck it. Let them have it. We might get reparations on the Biden.
I mean, if Uncle Joe really wants to get rid of these student loans, like, bless me, Uncle Joe, but you ain't done it yet, so.
Well, he tried, and I'll give him credit for that. He did try. He made the position, and he got blocked. But eventually, we're going to have to do that, and that's just a financial boondoggle for America. Much like we did the housing bailout, and we did the car bailout, we did the Wall Street bailout. We're going to have to do the same thing with student loans because us-ums, the millennials, people like to talk about, we really got the shaft.
The question is it really going to go through, or is it going to be like one of those things like healthcare in our system where we can't really all have it because people don't want Black people to have it?
See, you make the great point, and I was going to make this point. I'm glad you brought it up. The only way it's going to pass is you're going to have to hide it from racist-ass white folks, and this is how you're going to have to do it. And this is how Joe Biden did it this time. But you're going to have to be a little more clever with it. He made it means tested. He said, hey, man, if you got a Pell Grant and you make under $75,000, hey, you get forgiveness. And that's the thing. You're going to have to make it more means tested. Because I truly believe that you can just like single out Black people like you singled us out for the bad stuff. You can single us out for the good stuff, too. You can be like, hey, Black folks, this is for you guys. But you can't do that in modern America because it's white America or majority, even other minorities think, well, that's, you're giving something to them. So you're going to have to make a means test. Like that's even with admissions to college and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Whereas affirmative action really only helped white people, but I can see an argument for affirmative action because once again, you got to think about it. Black folks are amazing. The fact that for over 200, 300 years, we were denied the right to read. And now to have our literacy rate this high, it's amazing. Like for where we came from. And people don't take that into consideration. They look at Black people like, well, why aren't you ahead right now? Well, you kind of look what was done to us. Once again, we was told we could not have education. We was kept dumb, intentionally, breeding. Like, all this stuff was done to us, all these atrocities. All our wealth-building programs were denied from us, and when we made it ourselves, it was tore down. So for us to be as far as we are now is amazing. So I can make an argument that, hey, yeah, you should be doing that, but once you do means, it's going to automatically help us more because we've been left out so goddamn much. But that's how you're going to do it. So then you can kind of point the mirror back to America like, well, yeah. It doesn't matter why you think these people are down here. We're going to do it for the people down here, which is going to disproportionately help Black people. It's going to help some poor white people too. So you can have enough cover to be like, oh, yeah, yeah. That's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to hide it from people. You're going to have to make it in such a way that they can be like, they can think it, but they can't prove it. Just much like the policies done against us. Like, this ain't racist. No, we're just doing this for the better. We got to put crime down. What? So only thing we can do to take crime down in the Black community is more police officers. You can't put no jobs. No education, no money for education. All that you can do is cops. No, we're trying to get crime down. So that's what you got to do on the flip side, in my opinion.
So there has to be like plausible deniability that it's not just for this group of people.
Yep. Exactly.
But you know, we can have like whole like don't have Asian discrimination acts, and we can have Okay. Again, I get so frustrated because America is very pick and choosy about it. They make it very clear they're never going to choose Black people. So they can't be shocked that some of us are doing an exodus from the country or trying to figure out where else we can go. We could just feel a little bit more like we have autonomy over our future. Because maybe I've just been back long. I've been back now longer than I was in Japan. Like, that now crossover is happening for me where I'm like, yo, those itchy feet are just starting to stick in. Mm-hmm. Where I'm like, where else could I go and just dream about something else? Because, you know, I'm not tied down. I'm child free. I just have a brother. Let me not drop my age, Marcus, because like I keep having issues with people not really believing me on my age. And I'm just like, I shouldn't be having to reaffirm my experiences, even though my face is young. Like, what has happened to me. Get over it. Let's push forward. I don't know where I was going with that.
you're right, because everything, once again, done for Black people are positioned as a give. A majority of white America feel like they've done enough for Black people. Mm. It's like, okay, you're not slaves anymore. Should be happy. You never got your 40 acres and a mule, but you're now in the cotton field. Oh, by the way, you're in the cotton field because we got this loophole. But, you know, that's because you got to do it. Now we're going to make the tip system, and that's going to disproportionately target Black people. So now you got to kind of dance a jig for your food. But you're not slaves. Okay, you're right. We redlined it. We did a discrimination. We didn't give you all the good stuff, separate but equal. That didn't work in Jim Crow. All right, cool, guys. Black man got shot. Now we say civil rights. Hey, and you're done, right, guys? Besides, we got this prison industrial complex that targets you and keeps you in jail, and now we're looking at it now. Okay, how about we don't lock you guys up? Isn't that enough? Everything is positioned as a give to Black people, and that's what it is. White folks think they've done enough for us. It's like, they can complain, they can ask for more, but we can't. It's like, haven't you got enough already? Gosh, I'm so tired of being so benevolent to you guys. Like, I had to let you guys be free. I had to give you guys civility. I had to let you guys eat with us. Awesome. I let you date our daughters.
Awesome. Colonizer shit, nigga.
But that's what it is, though. And that's what, it's the mentality we got to break. It's like, you see it even in England, where they colonized half the world. They went to South Africa, chunked up like Africa and cut it in different pieces. Went to India, cut it in different pieces. Like, just put their people there. They're trash people, by the way. Like, England didn't send its best and brightest to America. The trash. The squalor that wanted to get out of England and sent to Australia. Australia was a prison colony, right? All the trash-ass people they didn't want to these places. And the indigenous people there had to just take it. Now, You got this whole system built on colonization in England, this whole banking system. And now the black people from the countries that you colonized, you said you was bringing into the fold. Now they come into your country. You're like, what? What are you doing? How dare you take our jobs? Like, whoa, motherfucker. You did the exact same thing. That was colonization. And because of colonization, now you should just let all these black folks in. That's the answer. Let them in. You broke them into this system. This was a system you created. You propagated this system and made this system something like that. America, you made it so immigrants. That's how you justified you taking land. You said we're a country of immigrants. This is what we do. We embrace everybody. So let them in. Let them in. That's the answer. But it's always positioned as a give.
Yeah.
But when you start saying that, the true feelings come out. It's like, what are you saying? Like, one thing I love about Trump, he exposed the truth, how people were saying, like, when they did immigration, that he was trying to keep up the Nigerians, who on average have a higher degree of education than anybody in America, Nigerians. Far degrees people. Look it up. You don't believe me. Nigerians who've immigrated from Nigeria have like multiple degrees, more degrees than anybody. But when they was doing that immigration bill during Trump, and he was like, hey man, can we get some more people from Norway and Sweden? Can we just keep out these black African shithole countries? The white people, Lindsey Graham and everybody's like, no, because if we do that, it's going to be obvious why we're doing it. Which is an acknowledgement of, look, bro, if you are calculating, it's a way to get your racist-ass policies passed with deniability.
Oh, man.
It's hilarious to me. It's hilarious. But we're at this weird point where this year, I truly believe we're going to see a lot of shit. We're going to see a lot of shit because we got dinosaurs, man. I don't know if you listened to my last podcast, but the homie India Dean put me up on game about the dinosaurs, man, about Jurassic Park. The cautionary tale of Jurassic Park is that the dinosaurs could only wreak havoc because they were never meant to be in this society. So you put them here, all they can do is tear down shit. And that's what you got now. You got a whole bunch of dinosaurs from a before four time that don't belong here now. And they're dying. Like, that's one thing about COVID, as cruel as this may sound, it was the boomer apocalypse. It was like, if you look at what it took out here, it took the old folks out of here because they had to get the fuck on out because there's no room. Like, there's literally no room. There's no upward mobility because you got these goddamn dinosaurs still in power. And then, much like Bill Maher and these other old folks, the older you get, the more conservative you get, and you can't move forward because you're like, whoa, whoa, that shit makes no damn sense. You're right. It don't make no sense because this ain't your goddamn time. I'm actually getting to the age where it ain't my time. I'm at the age I'm supposed to be leading now. I'm supposed to be wise old sage and getting these 20-year-olds and 18-year-olds like, look, young man, let me tell you about something. Let me try to put you up on game. Let me tell you how to navigate this world you're going to go to. I'm past the revolutionary point. Like, that was me in my 18s all the way up to my 30s, like out here on the streets. Like, did I do protesting everywhere I went? Yes. But now I'm at the point where I'm establishment. It's only so much I can do because I am a part of the establishment. That's what happens. But the problem with us, the millennials from 42 on down to like 30, nobody's moving out the fucking way. They're still here. It is ridiculous that Mitch McConnell is still in the Senate. It's ridiculous that Biden is still actually in office. It's ridiculous that Trump can actually be running for office at this age. You're not going to move the country forward with this old ass dude. That's why you can get a Bill Moore like, yeah, man, back in my day, it was all about being colorblind. Guess what? It's not your day, guy.
No.
Nothing to say your day was headed right. You're going to have to adjust every once in a while and be like, look, this shit didn't work. What am I getting wrong? So, yes, a colorblind society was something you guys pushed for back in the 80s and 90s. It made sense then. But looking at the scheme of things, had it made sense, shit would have been better now. Is it better? Incrementally, just a little bit. But had it really worked, we would have been in a colorblind society. So that's evidence that it doesn't fucking work. India will get mad for me cussing too. She always like, listen to me cuss on these podcasts. She's like, hey man, why you cussing so much?
Because we fucking angry. did not James Baldwin say like to be aware of all this, to be in a constant state of like anger? Like, yeah. The more you see, it's like, oh, it's weird because the more you see, the more you want to tell people what you see, but it seems like the more you tell them, the more they push back on what you're seeing. And it's like, Now, there's a couple people who are like, okay, I've noticed this too. And then you can start talking to them about this, which is why these kind of times between us are safe spaces where we could just go off. But like for other people, they're just like, I'm not ready to see this. Like, I'm dealing with my life right now. Mm-hmm. I'm going through a crisis. You know, mm-hmm. I'm going through addiction. Like, I can't think about that right now. It's always something else. And it is unfortunate, but it's just within our politics and our legislature that a lot of stuff is just starting to just be taken away slowly, one by one. And I'm trying to just get more active, Marcus. Politics always just make my heart want to just sink. I'm trying to get aware. I'm trying to educate myself. And I don't know. I feel like a lot of people are feeling hopeless. And so they're becoming more apathetic. And they're feeling like, you know, maybe I'm not going to vote this year. Like, I've heard that from several people who are like, yeah, I used to vote, but now I don't know what the point is right now. And I'm just like, not voting is also not the answer. But I also hear them. I hear that frustration so clearly.
I actually kind of think not voting is a vote. I am a firm believer not choosing somebody is a choice. When the political landscape has gotten so bad to the point you can't look at anybody and be like, mm-mm. That's an indictment of us as a society. Because if we are a republic for the people and by the people, if the people have no more confidence in you, that's the problem. And this has been a calculated thing done by the right. I must say, the right has dismantled confidence in institutions. Like, that was their whole get down. It's like, look, I'm going to bring doubt into all these institutions to the point that nobody has trust in it. And that's the whole right wing now. Like, conspiracy is always spun from the right anyway. But the problem is it worked too much. It worked too well. They were able to say, hey, the government doesn't work. Vote me in. Come in there. They obstruct. Don't do anything. Tear the government down. And then point to their obstruction and be like, this is why the government doesn't work. See, I was right. It's like, you're making it right because you're not doing shit. Good point is this goddamn immigration bill. Only thing you hear about is caravan. They're coming in. And there is a problem with immigration. And as an immigrant who lived in Japan for 12 years, look, I know how hard immigration process can be. I can tell you horror stories about going to immigration every year and being like jerked around. But I had to do it because that was a legal thing. So I truly believe a country needs borders. But you can't put a damn good immigration bill on the table and then you guys like, nope. And then be like, well, this is why the caravan is coming. No, you got to answer to it. Why don't you jump on it? That's my problem, man. It's a bunch of that going on in the government. You're tearing down establishments and then being like, yep, I want to be part of the establishment to do nothing. Great job. You can get it. Great job. But I get the frustration with politics. I mean, I personally just love politics myself. I love the muck. I love the dirty tricks. I plan on running for office when I'm 45. And I'll run for something. I don't know.
Okay.
I debate, do I want to go for the top? You just go for Congressman Johnson off top? Or do I want to start local? Be Alderman Johnson. I don't know. I'm debating what I want to do.
I mean, that's on you. I'm always thinking grassroots first, so start local. That's where I think in my head. But if you want to start large scale, you've been international, so I don't doubt you in that sense. Do what you got to do.
Well, that's the thing, too. And you said something about our conversations as I let you go and wrap this up. I want to say thank you for being, quote unquote, a safe space for me to express my thoughts in blackness. And it's been like that since Japan. For those y'all don't know, I met this lovely woman in Japan, and we've been cool ever since then because we had a lot of commonality. I think that's a testament of what can happen when you treat women like people. Don't instantly look at them as fuck toys or something to be taken advantage of. You actually can have a damn good friendship. So I want to say thank you, sis, and I love you for actually just being a friend, a source of like inspiration and relief for me. I would say I have been blessed to have great women friends, like Ukrainian, especially black women. Like, not to take nothing away from my white friends, my Polish friends, my white women friends, but like my black women friends, you guys are awesome. Like you, India, Luanda, Tanisha, like you guys actually do a lot for me to keep me on point. And you guys have never said much about me not dating a black woman. So thank you.
I mean, I don't know if I'm the one who can really call you out even on that sort of thing, Marcus. Again, I am often from the position of non-experience. So who am I to say anything, really? But at the same time, I realize that having people in your life where you're able to call them family and know that they're able to be trusted in times where you can lean on them builds these kinds of spaces. So just know that this space is created by both of us together. I don't know a lot of niggas out here that I can really talk with, but you've been one of the ones that hung around. So I'm just like, I appreciate you.
Well, look, man, I'm just trying to be there like you there for me. Like you, India, Zanab, like y'all are homies, dog. Like, yo, all women of color just like, yo, y'all be dropping that real, real on me.
I mean, and we perspective, despite all of us, like, I don't know all y'all women, but I also know how much of a rock we have to be in our own courses. The perspectives that we have are so often silenced or just not listened to. So that able to just share them with someone who is actually going to hear them. Like, just getting them off our chest is half the battle, right? But, you know, going to therapy helps too. I'm just gonna put that out there.
Definitely pro therapy, man. Everybody, you know, everybody, go get you some therapy, dog. Dead ass. I would say this to black people. Sure, go to church, get some religion, but also get your ass some therapy, man. Go talk to somebody. Go get a licensed therapist.
A little Jesus and a little therapy. I just feel like you can balance it out.
It can. Balance it out, guys. Mix it up. Mix it up, guys. Like, do that. But that's the Common Knowledge Podcast. I'm Daddy Weekly. ALA, we kind of went off the rails. I apologize. I swear I had a whole thing planned. It was going to be structured, but I came in hot on that, so that's on me. I apologize.
Look, we'll just call it the chaotic train of the February non-Black History Month.
I hate it so much, man. I really do. I hate Black History so much. Before I go, I tell you the story. I was at the University of Tennessee at Martin. I was working in the Office of Greek Affairs. It was Black History Month, and I was put in charge of doing the Black History stuff because I was the only Black guy there. Word. Okay. It makes sense, though. All right, cool. I mean, look, you start putting the white Greeks in charge of Black History Month, it starts getting a little wonky, man.
Yeah,
well, that's when you start getting fried chicken and watermelon. On me, right?
Touch.
So I never forget this white, he was a, I think it was a KA. Or maybe something else. And I went to him because I was overdoing the Black History Month stuff. And I was like, hey, Blake. His name was Blake. I was like, Blake, what did your fraternity got planned for Black History Month? And he looked at me in the eye and said, what? We ain't got nothing. That ain't my history. And I looked at him and I was like, that's the problem, man. It is your history. How are you going to remove yourself from all that goddamn history? And that's when it hit me that Black history is used for white people to be like, nah, that ain't me. That's them. I can detach myself. And not many white people can even tell you about nothing more than the top five people. Oh, Martin Luther King had a dream. Malcolm X shot some guns. Rosa Parks sit down on a bus. CJ Walker, she did something with hair. But they can't tell you nothing about like Louis Latimer or A. Philip Randolph. They can't tell you about W.E.B. Du Bois and the conception of NAACP. You know, they can't. Like, Louis Latimer was the black man who actually damn near made the light bulb and the phone. When Thomas Edison called somebody, he called Louis Latimer. He designed the whole phone modeling section. We don't know about that guy. He designed the filament in the light bulb. He's the one that made the light bulb work. But we don't know that shit. And it just kills me. I'm just like, only thing you learn about, hey, man, Martin Luther King had a dream. And which is used to shame black people that were judging by the character. Shut up. Y'all don't even know Martin Luther King Jr. Y'all ain't never read the Montgomery jail letters. Y'all don't know what the dude was saying. Like, dude was a radical. Nobody liked that dude. That's why he got assassinated. But now he's used by white people. Yeah, judge by the kid, but Dr. Martin Luther King said, y'all, shut the fuck up. You didn't read this shit. You don't know what he meant. You don't know what he was saying. You didn't read the Montgomery letters when he was like, man, he was talking to the jailers when it was like, yeah, you are here causing ruckus. And he asked the jailers, hey, man, how much money you make? and then they told him, he's like, damn, dog. Shit. You should be out here with us. They're raping you, too. They're raping you out here.
I've at least in some of the studying I did over the pandemic and stuff, realizing that Malcolm X and Martin Luther King Jr. were starting to see a little bit more eye to eye by the end of both of their lives. We don't get to talk about like that convergence. Like, pacifism is great and everything, but sometimes I'm just like, I there's gonna have to be a greater shaking. And every time we make a step forward, they turn us into martyrs. And that's frightening sometimes.
Yes, but that's like kind of the put you back in line to get you not to get out of line, because the convergence is important. Because what people don't know is, like, during the Civil Rights Movement, it was all predicated on shame. It was predicated on shame and guilt. It was like, look, the calculation was made when King went over there to India to look at their caste system and how they did everything, and look at Gandhi. Like, the calculation was made. They went over a bunch of things. It was a bunch of things, but they leaned on the non-violence protest because they're like, look, what's going to happen is we're going to shame these white folks into doing the right thing. They claim to be Christian. They claim that America is equal and fair for all. If we just do the things that are afforded to us, the rights we're supposed to have, and we show them on TV beating us, putting the water hoses on us, treating us like inhumane, that's going to shine a light to everybody, and it's going to shame them. That was why we did that. But also while that was going on, the churches had guns. They was ready if it popped off. You had to like sidestep them folks and catch them off guard, but they was ready. They had guns, they had stockpiles. And what happened was with King and the convergence started to become real, because X was about force. Like, look, we're going to have to really take it to show these people. Yeah. Much like the Irish people. Like, his whole thing was the Gang of New York. Like, look, the Irish people was treated like shit. But what did they do? They started fucking up everybody. And after they fucked up everybody, it was like, look, man, I guess it's just easier to let these folks be white. You know, especially when before they started hanging out with the black people. So what happened was King went up north, because the shame was working in the South, because them folks was like Christian Bible Belt people. But then he went up north, the quote unquote progressive part. And he saw all them goddamn sundown towns. He went to Boston and shit. And them people like, man, we don't give a fuck. Nah, fuck you, nigger. Get the hell out of here. Yeah. He saw shame wasn't working, and then he's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. These folks ain't got no shame. What do I do now? And the pivot made to economic equality. He's like, okay, well, fuck it. I can't shame these people. You're right, guys. You always going to see me like this. So that's when he made the Poor People campaign. He's like, look, we're going to go to Washington, and we're going to get some money. You owe us. So fuck that. Yeah, you're right. I'm a nigger. I'm always going to be a nigger to you. Cool. But pay me. The U.S. government owes me. Not these white people. The U.S. government was the only entity around that kept us down from the conception of America to now. That's the only entity around. It ain't about your white granddaddy. It ain't about your white brother or your great. Fuck them. It ain't about them. It's about the U.S. government was around. They sanctioned those atrocities. They saw them happen. They did nothing. They should be held accountable. And that was King's pivot. And that was the convergence with X. And they both were like, yeah, we going to have to get ours. And they killed them both. Sorry, but that's why Black history, the nuanced discussion is not that. Like, why? It's all like, yeah, man, bad shit happened, we stop. Yay. But it's no nuanced discussion of why it happened and what the remedies were and how the stuff that happened in the past is affecting Black people now. No nuanced discussion. It's just like, all right, bad shit happened. You guys should be ahead now.
I mean, if we rewind all of what you said to what you said you read inside your brother's textbook, is that not what they're trying to get us to just do? Like, let's just summarize it. Let it go.
Mm-hmm. But the funny thing is, like, it makes defined statements about World War II. Hitler was bad. Hitler was bad. Shouldn't that happen?
Of course. Like, we can't go down the road of, you know, what happened to people of Jewish descent being horrible. Like, we've established that, but for some reason we can't seem to figure out that anti-blackness is also a very horrible rooted evil. Like, we can't have both for some reason.
So here's the thing, right? Like, if I told you about the Holocaust and you looked at it and I asked you, hey man, was the death of 6 to 9 million Jews horrific? You would say yes. Yeah. And you'd be like, well, what if we put Hitler's money on the the Deutschland franc, would that be like stupid? You would say yes. But then if I say, hey man, how about the 10 to 15 million that died in the Middle Passage during slavery, mm-hmm. propagated by America? Is that atrocity? The answer is going to be like, well, that happened a long time ago. And George Washington was awesome. Thomas Jefferson was awesome. Don't you say nothing bad about our founding fathers. Like I always say, two things can be true. Like they were profound, great men who did great shit and atrocious shit. Racist, bigoted assholes, but that's not positioned in any of these textbooks when it comes to American history. It's always positioned as we're the heroes, which makes it propaganda. But you're right. That's the problem I have with all this, man. Like, yo, it's like black deaths mean shit. They really don't. Like, that's how we envision it, how we look at it, man. Like I said, the Middle Passage means nothing. Oh, yeah, 10 to 15 million black people. Well, you know, that was bad. It shouldn't happen. But everything's good now, guys. Why are you not ahead? It was a push to try to even make captured black refugees and slaves immigrants. They were immigrants. Like, no, they wasn't. They were prisoners. Like, how dare you even try to put my ancestors in the same boat of people who just left England because England was dirty and the aristocrats didn't want them, who was kidnapped on the same level. No, you kidnap a group of people to put them on the bottom. That's what you did. That was it. Like, no. God damn it. Stop it.
That's not the version of truth that we want to hear. That makes us feel bad.
That's it. Can't feel bad about America now because America don't do shit. Let me get off this phone. I'm going to be talking.